Our Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, April the 12th. Got my man, Mark Narducci in the house. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Keith? It's been a while.
Hey, good y'all. It's been a long while. So, look. You guys, I know you know Mark. Mark and I used to work together on the Sixers, and now he's covering Temple. But lucky for us, lucky for y'all, lucky for me, that Mark is going to be covering the Sixers with us throughout the postseason full time. And I'm so excited. I don't think y'all know about it. Mark has a wealth of knowledge. He's a great reporter, the hardest worker in Philadelphia, bar none. And he knows a lot about basketball. So, Mark, I'm happy to have you back,
Keith,
brother.
Keith, that's an honor. Great to be with you, really.
So, I'm going to hammer him today. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hammer him. So, first of all, we got a little bit of, not really a debate, but we're going to, talk about the Brooklyn Nets, y'all. The game is tomorrow. Y'all know game one is tomorrow at 2:30. And we're going to say, do the Brooklyn Nets have enough offense to contend with the 76ers? That's going to be the first segment. I believe they do. Mark, do you believe so?
No, I don't.
He doesn't. Hold up. He doesn't. So hold that. So that's what we're going to talk about in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about a player off the bench. We're going to give our player off the 76ers bench who needs to produce in order for this team to win this playoff series. And I think we agree on one person. And then in the third segment, we're both going to give our predictions on how many games this series is going to go to and who's going to win. So let's get it. Now we can go ahead, Mark. I think that the Brooklyn Nets have enough firepower offensively to scare the Sixers. You don't, and I like to know your reasoning behind it.
Well, because obviously their backcourt of D'Angelo Russell, and then when they bring Dinwiddie in the game, those guys are scorers. We know what Joe Harris can do. He's a leading three-point shooter in the NBA. I'm saying beyond that, Keith, and you need more than three guys, they just have a bunch of really decent role players, but I don't know if they're guys that scare you offensively.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a point. The thing is, you know, Caris LeVert, his stats are going to be a little misleading just because he was injured.
Right.
Right. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, I mean, what'd you tell me? He was averaging, what, 23 against the Sixers?
23, had that big 39-point
game. Then you look at deloading D'Angelo Russell. He had a 30-something point game against the Sixers, the same one that he had 39. And early in the season, you know, at least against the Sixers, it was like, I don't think he played a little bit in the fourth quarter of one of those games. So I know that we're just talking about three people, and you talk about Joe Harris, that's four people. But to me, the 76ers' weakness is on perimeter defense. They can't make stops consistently. So I think that those three are enough to scare a team, you know. And when you look at it, it's weird because, you know, I keep saying this, and I said this to Mike Lee yesterday. I know D'Angelo Russell was the all-star, but in my opinion, at least facing them against the Sixers, Dinwiddie was the best player on the team.
Yeah.
You know, Caris LeVert, you know, early on before he got hurt, you know, he was the second best, and D'Angelo Russell was third. But since they have last played, D'Angelo Russell has involved, you know, Joe Harris gets all these threes. So me personally, now I'm not saying that I think that they can beat the 76ers in a seven-game series. I'm just saying that they create a lot of matchup problems, those four people we talked about.
There is no question about that. And I'll tell you what, if the Sixers leave Harris open, shame on them, because they know that you just can't. He thrives on going off screens, playing off people, but he's not going to create a shot for himself. So if they leave him open, that's their problem. And I still think kind of the matchup of the series is how Harris does versus how J.J. Redick does. Both teams need the perimeter shooting from those guys, and we'll see how it goes. By the way, I think the Nets have other people that can score and everything like that. They just, to me, don't have a lot of other people that scare me like the people we mentioned. They have a lot of good role players. And the thing I like about the Nets is I think they play as hard as any team. I think if there's one team in the NBA that can be down 20 and come back, it's the Nets, because they just never stop fighting. And I think Kenny Atkinson has just done a tremendous job with that team.
Yeah, I did my voting today for, like, Coach of the Year,
mm-hmm.
and it was easy. I mean, Budenholzer has to be the Coach of the Year, in my opinion. You know, Mike Budenholzer, the coach for the Milwaukee Bucks. But then Kenny Atkinson was second. I mean, think about it. We were laughing at the Brooklyn Nets a couple years ago. Like, why would he take that job? Brooklyn? You know, this and that. And look how he coached. And we're not saying that they did get some free agents. But these weren't exactly, you know, I mean, it wasn't Kevin Durant coming to town, LeBron James. I mean, we're talking about dudes who like, okay, all right, let's see if you can make that work.
Not only that, and Sean Marks has done a great job with what he's had to work with, because they blew all those draft picks in the trade with the Celtics.
Yeah.
So they didn't have high number one picks, but they've hit on guys lower in the first round. Jared Allen, even though he's had some problems with Embiid, as everybody has, he's been a pretty good pick for them. And that's what they've done. They've done a good job, and then Atkinson has brought the most out. What you notice about them is, Keith, they don't have anyone averaging, you know, 35 minutes a game. They really have their minutes down, and the guys have bought into it and all. So they will have, I think, a depth advantage when they play the Sixers. They can't match the Sixers' starting five.
And the thing about a depth advantage, again, like the firepower, you know, you have a depth advantage, but are you going to roll out all those players in the postseason? You understand what I'm saying? Are you going to do that? I mean, they're going to try to push tempo, but that's going to be kind of hard. You know what I mean? You're going to think about that.
I know what you're saying, because Brett Brown told us on Wednesday night that his rotation's going to go to about 8.5, as he says. But if I'm the Nets, to me, that's been their major advantage all season. Nobody on the team has averaged as many as 31 minutes a game. And I think if he stops and shortens his rotation, that's going to take away one of the advantages that he had, that he can bring in these guys and they can try to wear people down. I'd be surprised if the Nets don't go 9-10 deep in this series.
Okay, and it's up to the Sixers to just try to be in shape, slow it down. And it's weird saying that the Sixers need to slow it down against a team. But, you know, I know one thing. They need to – I get you. Brooklyn does not have a lot of high-powered players, like, you know, more than three or four. But I'm just telling you, watching those games, you know, you better keep an eye on Dinwiddie, you know, Russell. I mean, the best thing that they can hope for – this is what they need, the Sixers can hope for – is that Russell comes down and he wants to take over. And he's not getting people involved like Dinwiddie and all them. And hope and pray that he misses. I mean, because what I'm saying is, and that's just going to disrupt things. But I think that, you know, they can at least scare the Sixers a little bit. I mean, of all the teams that they faced that could have been possible first-round matchups, and I'm talking about teams below them, I honestly think that this was the second worst for them. Boston would have been the worst. Let's just say if they paired up against Boston in the 4 or 5, if. But I think that this is the one that concerns you, just because the way they thrive in the pick and roll, because they have guys who can create their own shot. And it just seems like, for whatever reason, the Sixers leave people wide open at the three. And these guys have guys like Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell, who can get their shot. That's the reason why I felt like that they could have enough just to scare. Now, I'm not saying beat them, but to scare them.
There is no question. And the other thing is, and it's to me, Keith, it's an underrated aspect in the NBA. They've got toughness. You know, they have guys like DeMarre Carroll. They do have Jared Dudley, who's mm-hmm. been around forever. Those guys give them not only a veteran presence, They've had playoff experience, but they give them some toughness too. This team's mentally tough. I think they're physically tough. So I think it will be a tough series. And the other thing is, if you're the Nets, if you're ever going to steal one, it's certainly going to be in game one.
Yep. We'll see. All right, Mark. Now, in the second segment, we talk about a player. And we decided we wanted to see who has to step up for the Sixers. And we both agree that Mike Scott, right? You know what? Mike Scott, but I also think they need, like, I hate to say it. I mean, I'm just going to mention the name. Jonathan Simmons. I think he needs to do something.
I've been on that.
Just because of the defense. Because they do. But I think in regards to someone, the main guy, it has to be Scott. You know, Scott has established himself as the sixth man. I think if Mike Scott, I know that he was a power forward, but he could stretch it. I think if Mike Scott was here from day one, you know, you would have to consider him as sixth man of the year just because of the way he's doing things. You know what I mean? He comes off, and you raised a great point. You told me earlier that he's shooting better from three than J.J. Redick?
Yeah, he's got that corner three-pointer. He's shooting a little bit better in the 40% range. And Keith, he's got that intangible that I mentioned about Carroll and Dudley. He's got real toughness that he really brings to the team. Now, he can be a little streaky, too, as you've seen, you know, since he's come over here. But he is just a vital, vital factor. And I'm telling you what, the Nets, you know, he hurt them in the last game from the corner and everything like that. They've got to watch him. Three-pointer from the corner, he gets a stroke, he could be trouble.
And we talk about that toughness. You know, it must be something about these guys from Virginia. Like, because last year it was Justin Anderson, who was the kind of sort of quiet enforcer, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't want to mess with him. And what I mean is, like, both of these guys, for you guys who don't know, Justin Anderson and Mike Scott both played for UVA. So I'm pretty sure they're both excited that their team won a national championship. Not only that, they both played for the same AAU team, but they played at different times. Like, Mike Scott is around 4 or 5 years older than Justin. So they both played for, like, Boo Williams in, like, the Tidewater area. But Mike is that guy that there was a game earlier in the year when the Sixers were playing the Portland Trail Blazers, and Ben Simmons almost got into it. Who comes to the rescue? Mike Scott. Well, last week, Joel Embiid gets into it with Eric Bledsoe. Who comes to the rescue?
Mike Scott.
Mike Scott.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this. You know, sometimes guys, is that saying, real recognize real. People don't mess. Like, when Mike Scott comes to get some people's, a guy's face, it's none of that. Let me at him. It all stops. You know what I mean? So, people must know that this guy means business. Now, again, in basketball, no one's really trying to throw hands. But I tell you, they don't even front with him. They don't do it.
No, and people look at him as this sort of enforcer guy. But when you're shooting 41% from three, I mean, so now he has been a little streaky, Keith. You have to admit that. But I'll tell you, I think recently he's been on his game, and he's going to be a major, major factor in this series.
Is there anyone coming off the bench who you feel like from Brooklyn who needs to step up for them to be a solid player?
Well, we don't count Dinwiddie, right? Even though he comes off the bench, he's sort of like a starter.
We don't.
Yeah, he's sort of like a starter there. I don't know. Damari Carroll, whether he's going to start or come off the bench, but again, he gives you a little bit of a defensive presence. But they're going to have to ride their starters pretty hard too. I said that Kenny can't shorten his rotation, but I wouldn't be surprised if D'Angelo's playing a little bit more than 30 minutes a game in this series.
Yeah. I mean, you said you will be surprised if he plays a little bit more a game. Now, here's someone I will say, a guy from Chester. And he's been kind of like out of the rotation. But Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Another great defender.
Another great defender.
Yep.
Who the last time they played the Sixers, he, you know, he got some extended minutes. And he played well. You know what I mean? So I think for him, and let's face it, you know, this guy grew up in the Philadelphia area. His family's going to be in the stands. You know, everybody home is like, you know, most of his people are Sixers fans, talking about family and friends. And he's going to want to play, and he's going to want to play well. So I can see him being a difference maker as someone who can come in and just fulfill a role. You know what I mean?
And play within his limits, Keith. He was under a 19% three-point shooter this year.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get that out of him. But if you can come in and say, you know, I want to play a few minutes. I want to play him on Jimmy Butler. He can, the other thing about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is he can defend a couple of positions.
Yeah.
So he can give you that kind of defensive versatility. So I think we'll be seeing him in this series.
I do, too. All right, Mark. So, here's the deal. Now, we're going to talk about how long do we think this series is going to go? Now, I just think it's hard for Brooklyn to beat the Sixers four times. I do.
No question.
No doubt. I believe that the Sixers are going to win tomorrow. And I think maybe they could lose game two. And I think maybe they could lose game four. But outside of that, I think the Sixers handle business in six. That's just me. And the reason being is I think that game two, if Joel Embiid, and I could be wrong, but if Joel Embiid is not 100%, he could get gassed. It's the second game. Brooklyn is a little bit deeper. I think the Sixers go up and they like, forget that in game three. How did we lose to them? We're going to come out. And they're going to come out on fire in Brooklyn. They're going to silence the crowd. And then in game four, they're going to hit another low. But then after that, I think it's going to wake them up and they win. I don't know. But I just think they'll win in six games. But I just threw those two games out there.
Yeah, I definitely think it's also six. I could see the Nets getting six. I could see the Nets stealing game one when, whether Embiid plays or not, he's not going to be 100% as far as his conditioning. So and the other thing we're taking for granted is Jimmy Butler, who's always a finely conditioned athlete. You know, he's missed four of the last six games, and he hasn't played well recently down the stretch either. How's he going to be?
Yeah.
So if you're the Nets, that's the game you put the metal to the pedal, and you might be able to steal it. I just don't think, as I said in the beginning, that they have the offensive depth to beat them four times out of seven games. But I think this is a very worthy first-round matchup. I think it'll be a more competitive series than last year's Miami series when the Sixers won in five games. And you know, I think it's maybe the start of a kind of a close little rivalry between these two division teams.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, it's crazy. And like, you know, what Mike and I talked about a little bit yesterday is that, you know, this is a team that, like, Brett Brown used to say that term, they don't know what they don't know, which is good. Well, this team doesn't know that, you know, they're supposed to lay down against the Sixers. Like, the Sixers have two All-Stars, Jimmy Butler, two All-Stars in Embiid and Ben Simmons. You know, Jimmy Butler, who, you know, some say he played at an All-Star level this year, but he's a four-time All-Star. And then you have another All-Star snub in Tobias Harris. So, you know, a team like Brooklyn's supposed to just lay down, but these guys are like, you know, your little brother, you know, trying to dunk on a big brother to get, you know, to get a rep. So, you know, it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be closer than what some people think.
I agree, and I'll be interested to see how Russell performs in his first playoff. You know, he is capable of giving you one of those 1-for-9 from 3-point games,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
When he gets too enamored with that shot, instead of trying to take it more to the basket. So I'm going to be really enamored interested in how he plays and how he reacts to the playoff pressure. Because as you know, and you've covered a number of these games, it's just a total different intensity
exactly.
And environment.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. I mean, that's the thing. I remember covering it last year, the first one. I went over to Amir Johnson and said, wow. So you mean to tell me you guys were going at 80% in the regular season? He was like, you pick your spots. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. You know, so, yeah, we'll see it. The intensity level is going to be different. Can they match it? You know, they're excited about their first one. You know, Ben Simmons will probably, you know, he's going to be motivated to improve on what he did last year against Boston. Because let's face it, he looked great against Miami. Against Boston, he was a little shaky. So we'll see that as well. So it should be a good one.
One other thing on Simmons. You know, he improved his free throw shooting a little bit this year. It was in the 60% range. He doesn't seem as afraid to want to go to the foul line as he seemed last year. That's going to be a difference how he performs in the postseason there, because they're going to test him and send him there.
All right. Well, look, y'all, so we won't – I don't know. We may have one for Sunday if Mark would like to do one after we get off deadline. Just have a podcast for you guys. But we'll definitely be back on Monday if Mark would like to join me. I want to thank y'all for listening and have a great day. And as we both said, I think that Brooklyn has enough firepower. Mark is a little bit unsure. We both agree that Mike Scott will have to be the guy that steps up on the bench, and which he's been doing throughout since he's been traded here. And we both agree that the Sixers will win in six. I want to thank you for joining, Mark.
Keith, been great.
Yeah, and I want to thank you all for listening, and have a great weekend. Peace.